Well, look, our guest here came up from, somehow got up from Milwaukee. Well, he's an astrophysicist. He could figure out some way of actually circumventing the universe in I-94 and actually getting here. He's with us right now, David Kaplan, who discovered an Earth-like diamond in space. This is pretty big. This is this goes on Milwaukee's scorecard, I think, for discoveries. Henry Aaron and a diamond in space. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Now, technically, are you an astrophysicist or some other variety?
I am technically an astrophysicist. That's what my PhD says.
It does. Okay. Do you have just the one?
Yeah, I just got the one.
Just the one PhD?
Yeah. Okay. No, I figured it was probably time to earn a living.
Yeah. Are there a few different lines, though? Because I've had someone on here who was not an astrophysicist but should have been, it seemed like, for what they were studying. What other flavors are there in that whole thing?
It's pretty arbitrary. We just sort of make it up. Nobody else can really check us.
Yeah.
If I'm on a plane and I don't want to talk to the person next to me, I tell them I'm a physicist.
Yeah.
If I do want to talk to them, I'm an astronomer.
Ah, okay. That's what it is. So how does that work out? Like
I usually 50-50? Don't like to talk to people on planes. So.
And you found a what? A diamond in space.
That's right. So
yeah.
I spend my time, we spend our time searching for weird things in space. And most of the things that we find are weird, and they sort of keep me up at night, but wouldn't really bother most of you.
Yeah.
This one happened to be a little bit more interesting than most. So it's the remains of a star that died about 11 billion years or so, give or take.
Yeah, how do we know that?
Well, we know that because...
Are there rings?
You can count the rings? Yeah. Once we get there, we'll start doing some of that. But
11 billion years ago, it
that's
died,
right.
And it died. I mean, it collapsed.
Yeah. So parts of the star went away, sort of flew off forever, and the remaining bit sort of collapsed down until it was the size of the Earth. So you take
that small,
roughly all the stuff that's in the sun right now, and squeeze it down to the size of the Earth, and that stuff is mostly at that time carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take carbon and squeeze it down really, really...
Superman used to do
that's right. That's right. Or Cameron and Ferris Bueller.
Did he? I got to look up your reference now. Could you stop just for a minute? Yeah.
It was discussed. It was discussed. And once you squeeze it down that hard, it's probably something not exactly like what we call diamond, but close enough for government work.
Let's say diamond, because otherwise it's not a story.
Let's say diamond.
We got to say diamond.
That's right.
Zircon. It could be a zircon.
Yeah. We don't... I think we're classier than that.
Yeah. But, we had a guy in, a geologist in here, an astrogeologist. No, he wasn't an astrogeologist. He was a geologist. And he brought on... They have the world's oldest rock here at UW. And it's a zircon.
That's cool. Yeah, it's probably about half as old as this white dwarf, though. So I got to be.
Yeah, but I'm saying perhaps like that's in space as well. If this actually were to form some carbon thing, it might be a zircon as opposed to a diamond.
Well, I think
and it'd be a lot more affordable.
It would be. Well, as it is, you could take this white dwarf and break it up a chunk for everybody in the world, and the chunk would be 3 kilometers across. So.
Well, it's a nice rock you got there, honey.
That's right.
Guess he did right by you.
Yeah.
Look at that, 3 kilometer chunk.
Yeah, who knew academia paid so well?
Yeah. So how does one find, and why wasn't this seen, shouldn't someone have seen a diamond in space of this size?
Well, it's really cold. It's actually really, really hard to see. We actually haven't seen it directly yet. We can only sort of see its gravity.
So you're making this up is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's right. Nobody can check us.
Well, I'm sorry you made the trip for nothing. Around I-94 and everything, getting around it up here. So you found gravity waves that were unusual. Is that what you?
We haven't found gravity waves. What we found is we found.
You haven't even found the gravity wave?
No, gravity waves. If we found gravity waves, I'd be doing a bigger show than this.
Oh. Would you care to name any?
No. Okay. No, that is a much longer
term. So what did you find then?
We found a binary star.
You found a binary star.
We found the binary star. And so one of the members of the binary star is what we call a pulsar, which is something that started out bigger than the star that made the white dwarf and exploded in a supernova and left behind something where you take all the stuff that's in the sun and squeeze it into something the size of Milwaukee.
Oi. Must be from Milwaukee. Oi, it's beer. Milwaukee.
That's right. And then you make it spin around 30 times a second.
Milwaukee?
That's right.
Okay, wait, so, I'm trying to picture. You guys are so abstract. I'm trying to picture Milwaukee, a star, squeezed the size of Milwaukee, spinning around how fast?
30 times a second.
Okay, Milwaukee County or the city?
Give or take, yeah.
Okay, because I know it ends at 60th Street, basically. Okay.
And
I got
so,
that.
And so it works sort of like a lighthouse.
That's a pulsar. It sends out waves.
That's right. Every time it sort of points at us, we get a little blip on our radio receivers.
Yeah.
And these are big radio receivers. We have radio receivers the size of a football field. Mm-hmm. And so we use one of these radio receivers to find this pulsar. Mm. And what we get very good at doing is counting. We can count really, really well. We're some of the best counters around. So we can count the pulses from this pulsar.
Yeah.
Over the course of five years.
Can you tell me how many listeners we have right now?
Those are a little harder.
As this goes on. No, you could. When you work a bigger show, you'll have this all down.
But so we get really good at counting the pulses from this pulsar. And we can get so good that we can predict exactly when the next one should come. And what we find is that sometimes they come a little earlier and sometimes they come a little later.
Well, that's just tired.
Yeah. I mean, that's just sort of life for the pulsar.
Yeah.
And that's because it's orbiting around some sort of mysterious, massive object that we don't know.
So that's when this star comes in?
That's right.
The so-called diamond star?
That's right. So sometimes the pulses from this pulsar come 10 seconds earlier. Sometimes they come 10 seconds later, back and forth every 2.5 days. Mm. And so we know that there's something there.
What does that imply then?
We know that there's something there that has the mass of the sun squeezed down into a very small volume.
That's a big assumption, isn't it?
That's a very big assumption.
There could be a lot of answers to that, couldn't there?
Well, there's really
only...
Could it
be like lopsided when it's spinning?
Well, we see a lot of...
asymmetrical?
That's a very...
Like Milwaukee County.
That's right. We sort of have the wake on one side and sort of suburbia on the other.
Yeah, and spinning like lengthwise and then maybe...
Yeah.
That would... different...
Actually, if that were happening...
Yes.
We would get gravity waves. So...
Thought I had you. Thought I had you. And all I have is half a master's degree in English.
Yeah. No, neutron stars are pretty spectacular places.
It's amazing, really.
The center of a neutron star is denser than the nucleus of an atom. We really don't really know what goes on at the very center.
You're telling me we should be high having this discussion. Then I could
Wrong
understand.
Wrong stand for that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right.
But so we know it's orbiting around something with the mass of the sun. And we know roughly what its size is.
I did have when I was in college, it was here, I'll be honest with you, an astrophysicist dude lived next door. And we used to get high all the time, and he'd tell me this stuff, and I'd say, yo, wow, man. And it actually made sense. Now I'm a little puzzled. You didn't used to live next door to me, did you?
I would have noticed.
Yeah. All right, now, so... It's inferred by all this, but it's by no means confirmed, then, is it?
Well, I think we're sort of taking the Sherlock Holmes approach. There's no other alternative.
There's no
And it's pretty normal
dog.
To find pulsars orbiting around white dwarfs. What's unusual is that this one is so cold that we can't see it. So it's cold in an astronomical sense, about 2,000 degrees. So sort of hotter than you'd want to touch.
2,000 degrees is cold to you?
That's right, because the surface of our sun is 5,000.
What does he keep the room turned up to it? Pretty high, I bet, huh? Okay. She doesn't want to answer either.
She's actually an astrophysicist, too. So.
That usually doesn't work out, two astrophysicists, because you can have conflicting theories.
We do, but we work in different areas. So.
That's good. That's better that way.
Yeah.
All right, so it's cold, it's dead.
That's right.
It's
made of carbon.
It's diamond. We're saying it's diamond. It's diamond.
That's right.
And so, and then now what do we do?
How do we get it? Well, once you develop interstellar travel faster than the speed of light. Once you do, I will tell you where to point the spaceship.
Okay. You know pretty well?
We know it very, very well.
Could we not send, this little discoverer that went out and it's still leaving actual space now.
That one's going a little slow. This particular star is about 5 quadrillion miles away.
5 quadrillion?
It would take...
What kind of mileage do they get in those discoveries?
Exactly. It's just quarter...
5 quadrillion, so how many light years is that?
It's 867 light years.
Okay, I don't have the time to do this.
That's right. That's why you need to develop warp drive.
But it's the kind of thing that... All right. Well, that's really interesting. See, now how do you... I picture you, you're an astronaut, I figure that you're going at your keys or someplace, and you're going out there, and the thing opens up, and so let's see what we got tonight, and you're looking through it, but do you do any of that?
Well, your keys we don't use, because it's in Wisconsin, and the weather here is frankly not great.
What do you mean, frankly?
That's right.
Thanks for breaking it to me.
So this pulsar was discovered using a radio telescope. So as I said, it's like a really, really big radio receiver.
You don't use the optical ones at all anymore.
Well, we did because
Mount
we had
Palomar,
to use the optical.
Any of those? Any good ones?
Mount Palomar was not actually used for this one. We used a 10-meter Keck telescope on the top of Mauna Kea in Hawaii.
Ooh, cool.
So that was cool, yeah. I didn't
nice
actually get to go
too.
There for that one, but I did back in grad school.
Yeah.
So we don't see it, though, is the point of this.
Yeah.
If we saw it, that would mean it was shining bright enough that it would be hot and therefore not a diamond.
You can't see anything that's 2,000 degrees?
That's cold, astronomically speaking.
I know you said that.
We think we can, actually. We're trying with the Hubble Space Telescope.
Yeah, that should do it. And that new one, is there another one? Kepler, one of those?
Well, the James Webb Telescope.
The Webb,
That's going to be sort of the successor to the Hubble Space Telescope, and that would really clean up. But I'd like to get this done in the next couple of years instead. So.
Yeah. Does this discovery get you a bump-up pay grade?
Well, I get a bump-up... but that was actually before this discovery.
Way of saying thank you. You discovered a diamond star.
That's right. No, I'm a state employee, so I take what I take what I'm given, and I say thank you.
Well, that's really interesting. And now is this? So what do you do now?
So now we
to claim this discovery because you want this. You want your name associated.
That's right. So we have a paper in the Astrophysical Journal, which I'm sure all of you get on your doorstep every month.
Yeah. No, and, I get State Journal, but I think it's similar.
Yeah, it's basically the same. So we have a paper there where we describe this, and then I'm going to a conference next month where I'll talk about it with other people, with the sort of people who do get the Astrophysical
Journal. But don't
you
have to patent it or trademark it or defend it or something or publish it?
Well, it's published. So
it is published.
It's published. There was a referee who I submitted the paper, and the referee said, I believe this bit, I believe that bit, I'm not sure about this other bit here. And I said, yeah, he did.
What wasn't he sure about?
Was it?
What wasn't he sure about?
He was a little bit uncertain about the way that we modeled general relativity.
Oh, yeah.
So you can understand that concern.
No, I totally do.
That's right.
Totally.
So we went back and forth a few times.
There's a lot of dispute about that.
There is. Einstein had some crazy ideas.
Yeah. It was too general. That was a problem. I thought it was
right.
Relativity. You can't really generalize about relativity.
No, you gotta know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went back and forth.
But that was like, so that was just one thing, but they're more good than bad. And then, so
yeah,
that's
suddenly right. And eventually it was published. And so it's in the, it's a referee journal article, which is sort of the standard for science.
Yeah. Is it, how common is it to discover a star?
Well,
I mean, of this sort.
There are a lot of stars out there that nobody cares about. And
you
could discover one of them and.
But just say it's diamond.
That's right.
And they're gold.
We know of a couple other sources sort of like this, not exactly the same. So these are, we think they're pretty common. They're just really hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
You only find them when you know where to look. You could point your telescope and there would be one up there, but you would have no idea of knowing that.
Are there other jewels out there?
Well, carbon is
just
actually
the diamond?
Pretty common in the universe. So
So you could have any form of...
Yeah, you could have some weird impurities. I don't know quite what color it would be. But
You could have a glass star, maybe. Could you have a glass star?
That's an interesting question.
Because Superman's father lived on, I think it was largely a glass planet.
Yeah, so...
It sure broke pretty good.
If you had a star that was more massive than the sun, it would produce silicon, and silicon and oxygen make glass. So, and then if that exploded, you could get a little bit out.
Yeah, and your wife looks at it, this is not a diamond planet, this is glass.
That's right.
Well, that's right. It's fascinating. And then is there any disputation about this finding?
I think most of my colleagues agree with me. I got some emails from a few of them after I published the paper where they said, I was reading through your paper. I didn't believe it. I thought there had to be another explanation. But eventually, I realized you're right.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm right. It keeps me up at night.
And could this spawn a whole pulsar thing, predicting planet thing?
We do that already.
The
first planets
outside
our solar system were discovered around the pulsar.
Yeah.
That was using the same way, just looking at the gravity of these planets tugging on the pulsar.
Yeah.
So that was over 20 years ago. And so we found a number of very weird systems like that since then. Not too many, so enough that everyone is exciting, but a few of them.
Are you also involved in this whole looking for Earth-like planets that everyone seems to be doing?
Not directly. No, that's a pretty crowded field. I like to sort of keep to my sort of little boring corner of the world.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. I want to thank you for coming up here and doing this. David Kaplan, good luck to you and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Discovery. David Kaplan. UWM. Go.